Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
There's a bit of a sense that the course is playing a little bit differently today. A bit windier, for sure, out of a slightly different direction, so just trying to make some of those adjustments. I think it was a fairly favourable wind for the golf course, though, in general, which is why I think you're seeing some good scores. From my point of view, decent day, for sure. My wedge was good, you know, kept me, you know, some really good up and downs, actually, on holes like number 4, number 8, number 10, so that, you know, that kind of really kept, you know, the round was in a good spot.
That's the top of the Masters leaderboard. Justin Rose, 8-under par.
8-under.
He's had a third oldest in Masters history, by the way. Outright 36-hole leader, straight from the Masters stats.
Yes, right
on
there.
On the television right now.
Right there, on it right there. But Rose also, he did largely have his round one carry him through to the second day.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Mita saying last segment, you know, it's tough to shoot back-to-back like that as well as you do. So you try to just hold serve based off of what you do on such a strong first day.
Yeah.
But Rose at the top of the leaderboard, Bryson DeChambeau there right behind him. Rory McIlroy 2 strokes behind. Scottie Scheffler 3 strokes behind at 5-under with a couple of smattering of other names in their mix as well. But there's your notables. And the top of the leaderboard getting started closer to 210. That's nice and exciting, though.
Yeah, I guess
you got Scheffler. Big names pretty much back to back on. On those groups.
Mm-hmm.
You got Scheffler, then you'll end up getting McIlroy, then you end up with DeChambeau and Rose.
Yeah, and Scheffler, it looks like if he wins, it'd be this third time in a 4-year span, and only Jack Nicklaus has done it.
Yeah, no, Scheffler has a chance to really dominate the Masters tournament, and that's a big deal to be able to dominate Augusta like that.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting. As someone who's getting into this rather, you know, new, I should say, I'm a novice. This is exciting to watch. The competitiveness of it is there this year. You have your favorite, like you said, 3 points behind, like,
yep,
3 strokes out from the lead, and everybody up there with them is a Goliath at this point. So I feel like it's a solid year.
And the other thing is that you're getting guys with these bogey-free rounds, and it's a big way to help you keep yourself in contention or put yourself into it. McIlroy, he has that bogey-free round on Friday after a terrible first day. Not terrible, but like not great. It was a collapse at the end.
How does it say this week is my question. If technically he did he not? He had to.
I don't know what don't worry about what they say with the television prompts, man. Don't worry about it. So, but McIlroy, it really is like you have a chance for a big name to finally get that career grand slam, or someone like Scheffler, where it's he's dominating this tournament all of a sudden, winning three of the last four. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
He has a chance to, I should say. Or you have DeChambeau, who is pretty much the only one from LIV that really is constantly in contention.
Yeah. I mean, you see him, though.
And then Rose, who is one of the older players to have success right now at the Masters, and see if he can keep his high play up.
Yeah, and Rose's age, too. It's not surprising, but it's admirable that he's even doing what he's doing right now compared to these younger guys. So
and it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can keep things going and stay up at the top of the leaderboard, that's a big deal. So there's plenty of good story to have here within where things go. A guy like Oberg, who finished second last year in his first go-around at Augusta. So how do you follow it up? That's a big deal. You want to see where that is. He's at 3-under.
Mm-hmm.
See if he can storm back into the conversation.
There's a lot. 3-under at Augusta is not a bad score either. Yes. Like, that's the thing. You're just playing against the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how this is.
I forgot the name on this one. I'm going to look it up real quick. But someone shot a 90. It was, I think, 18 over 90.
Someone shot that? They were plus 18?
At the first day.
So they were plus 18.
Plus 18.
I do worse, so I can't say anything.
Yes. But then, from what I read, all right, it was Nick Dunlap.
Mm-hmm. Has he ever played golf?
He shot 18 over 90 on Thursday. He goes 1-under on Friday.
Yeah, just the ebbs and flows. You never know what can happen.
He was still, unfortunately, last on the leaderboard because he shot 18 over.
Well, so he shot 90, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because the par is 72. Yeah, so
yeah, he shot 90 on the first
Unbelievable.
Day. And then he goes 1-under on Friday. That's awesome.
It's awesome, but also I feel for him because he really got it going that second. Not really got it going, but he had a better understanding of the course, clearly, and what he needed to do. And just, yeah, tough break. Shooting 18 over, that'll do it, though. That'll end it.
Yeah, no, like, what a dynamic shift in your success over the failure of the previous day. Like, how do you get out of bed after that, though? Like,
yeah, because especially all the media attention that gets, because there's nothing like that that happens, at least this season, this year. It's just kind of crazy. 18 over. Wow.
Yeah.
But good on you for coming back.
Coming back in the next day and you shoot a 1-under.
That's you know, we said admirable for me, like Rose at his age. That's admirable to get back out there, get back on the horse.
Get back out there and just be like, all right, that happened yesterday. I'm never going to worry about the, like, I think there is something easy to that of, like, if you do so poorly, you can then turn around and go, I know I'm not going to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like all your pressure's off.
Right.
Like if you lose 13 straight games, you can turn around to the rest of your guys and go, oh, we're not doing that again. And then you proceed to not.
At least you stuck to it.
Yeah.
The little engine that could. Like, that's the story, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But you look back on something disastrous and you just go, well, we all know that can't happen again. So let's just go ahead and see what we do now.
Right. The worst of the worst has happened.
The worst of what you could do has happened.
We've hit the valley. Now it's time to go attempt to get back up. Get back
that's
to the
tough.
Peak.
It is. But I like that he was able to manage to, from so poorly, then go back to, hey, I shot 1-under at Augusta. That's awesome.
He went from Nate Peterman to like Derek Carr within a day span.
Speaking of Derek Carr, the Saints have now kind of turned the 9th overall pick into a very interesting scenario there, as Derek Carr is dealing with a shoulder injury that may take his 2025 season into major question.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the Saints, where they're picking, might have another
option. The report, according to Catherine Terrell of ESPN, Saints quarterback Derek Carr has a shoulder injury that could put his entire 2025 season in jeopardy as they are about to start OTAs on Monday. Not OTAs, just like they're beginning their offseason training program.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Not as, good.
Hey, Kellen Moore, one of the few things that's like okay on this team is now hurt.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You have Alvin Kamara. You have Chris Olave. You also have Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener at quarterback. Tell me they're not taking a quarterback now.
They're going to have to.
Yeah, their quarterback roster is Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener, and Ben DiNucci. No, he's not going to do it. Their roster's too bad, too terrible. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right? There's no way they do. There's no way he does it.
They're not a contending team
in
any way.
No,
so
they're
there's
not.
No way. He's going to be picky if he goes anywhere, which I think people need to be more picky with him than he's picky with teams.
But. Yes. But the Saints do have $27 million in cap space.
Yeah. It doesn't look like Pittsburgh's happening for him as of right now.
That report, if I'm a Steelers fan and I'm hoping for at least some kind of quarterback in the draft, this is important.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Saints are very much a viable option at 9 to take a quarterback. I might even think they're a trade-up candidate.
Now, I have to ask, since we're getting a little bit of NFL sprinkled in here, do the Giants take a quarterback? With Russell Wilson, with Jameis Winston?
They might.
Who do you think that quarterback is?
I mean, it would be Sanders.
You think so?
Is Jackson Dart a third overall quality player?
No.
And I think that Cam Ward does go number one overall. Because there's no way I'm selling to the Titans fans, whichever 17 of them are left, that Will Levis is a starting quarterback.
I think...
You can't.
That head coach in Brian Daboll might have his eye on somebody.
Daboll probably... Do you think Daboll's got Dart on his board?
I think he's got Will Howard on his board.
Howard's a second rounder at best.
I think he's got him. I'm not going to lie to you.
I know, but like the thing is that they're picking three.
I know that. You might honestly see. I think there might be a team more desperate for those quarterbacks offer because he's got Wilson this season. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but I think if the Giants are going to take a quarterback in the first round, it would have to be to trade back into it. Or they're taking Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be one or the other. There's no, like, Will Howard, it's like, no.
I think he's very reminiscent of Bill's quarterback that...
Nathan Peterman?
No. Dual threat-wise, I got to say.
No.
Will Howard looks very similar to...
Honestly, to me, Will Howard's not even someone I would consider in my first three rounds of picks.
No. I don't know. We might be surprised. I think he might go in the first round, whether it be to New York or someone else.
I don't know what you're hearing or what you're looking at, my guy. There's no way.
We'll talk about it more.
Yes, we'll have to talk about
when we get
more.
To our mock draft simulator and all that. Jazz today.
Yes. So the Saints, though, they become a more fascinating team because of this, because now you have to do something at quarterback, right? Who's available other than Rodgers? It's not much. So that turns into a very interesting thing of where the Saints might go at pick 9. How aggressive would they get? Maybe even make a trade up to see if they can get someone in a closer range. Because maybe like you want to make sure that the Jets avoid even threatening to take a quarterback. Or if the Giants do not take a quarterback at 3, New England, say Travis Hunter's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Peak trade-out candidate at that point is the Patriots. New Orleans jumps in there at 4, goes and takes a guy like Sanders, and then that's that.
Yeah.
Because I think the other thing is you need someone that could probably play as soon as possible.
Yeah, you want to draft somebody ready to go because you don't want to have...
And Sanders may have a lot of work that he still has to do.
But is he still tanking interviews, or is he fine?
I think he's fine. I don't know what this nonsense is
like
about.
That came out of nowhere. Like he was just...
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And ready? We're in the month of April.
April Fool's.
Smokescreen season. Not even April Fool's. It's smokescreen season. There's a lot that you cannot take seriously.
Right.
Like you mentioning Will Howard.
I've got some stats behind that I'm ready to bring out.
All
so.
Right. I'm gonna hear them and not listen to them. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
I'll hear you. I'm not going to listen to you.
That's fine.
But at least I'm making that clear in front of you.
Yeah.
All right. We come back. Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next. There's a lot of goofballs this week. There's a lot to dunk on, and we have not a lot of time to do it here on WGR.